Heavenly Father, we pray that whatever words are spoken now that are not of you may be forgotten. And whatever words, Lord, that are from you may touch us, may mold us, may shape us, may make a difference. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
My name's Rachel. I've been at this church for about a year, and this is the first time I've been asked to preach here. So beware, it might be a disaster. Yesterday, I went to a 60th birthday party that was a board games party. And the way they did it, they had lots of tables in the room, and you sat at the table of the game that you wanted to play, and you played it for 40 minutes, and then they rang a bell, and you moved to the next one. Now, I was chatting with some people, and I didn't see that everyone had already sat down. And when I saw that everyone was sitting down, there was only one place left. It was at the Scrabble table. I hate Scrabble with a passion. Is that not right, Tom? And it's because I'm rubbish at it. And what was worse was that David was sitting at the table, and David is a Scrabble geek. He knows every single trick. So the reason I'm telling you that story is today I want you to remember three things and three things only. But I'm going to give you them as Scrabble words, which David, I'm sure, would have put on the board because they would be like 30 points or double that, 60 points. Okay? Now, they're quite difficult words, so I'm going to get us to work out what they mean, but I really want us to remember them. And they are, you ready? Transcendent. Okay? This one's really good. Imminent. Okay? And the third one's a bit easier, awestruck. Okay? Got that? Now, just so that you don't go to sleep yet, this side of the church, I want you to spend literally no more than 60 seconds talking to your neighbour or neighbours about what you think transcendent means, okay? And if you can think of any synonyms, synonyms are words that sort of mean the word but are a different word, okay? I'm going to get you to shout out in a minute. This side of the church, sorry, you drew the short straw because you've got the word imminent, okay? You can't swap. I don't mind if you want to Google it on your phones if you want to, but you've only got 60 seconds. Imminent. Okay, get going. And you lot at the back, you've got the easy straw. Can you do the word awestruck? Okay, you at the back, the word awestruck. Okay, awestruck. Okay, thank you everyone. That is your very quick 60 seconds. There was a lot of chatter from this side, and this side were looking a little bit more lost. So, this side, please, what does transcendent mean? Okay, Kim, what does transcendent mean?
Well, it means
above all things. Something
different.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from further back? Have you got any synonyms? Okay, so above and to change. Okay, shall I tell you what the dictionary says? Transcendent means beyond or above the range of normal, or above and beyond the range of physical human experience. And when it pertains to God, existing apart from and not subject to the limitations of the material universe. Okay, got that? That's good. And some synonyms are unrivaled, unique. So that's sort of what you were saying, Dave. Unmatched, peerless, unsurpassed, supreme, unparalleled. Okay, so that's transcendent. Imminence. Did you get about to happen? That's sort of. Brewing, imminence, Does our... I'm not allowed to ask Susie. Impending. Well, look, let me tell you what this tricky word means. It means when it's about God dwelling with us. It's actually from the Latin word to remain or to stay or to be with. Okay? That's quite a surprise, isn't it? So in the dictionary, it says present throughout the universe. Okay? And so here are some synonyms: indwelling, inherent, intrinsic, deep-seated, integral, part and parcel, resident. Okay? Now at the back, you had the easy job. You had awestruck. Did you get anything for that word? We're very silent. That's fantastic. That is perfect. Did you hear that? Oh, somebody else has got something? Another one? Go for it. Suddenly become amazed or excited. I love it. You are good. So the dictionary says, feeling filled with feelings of fear and wonder. And here are some synonyms: impressed, shocked, amazed, stunned, afraid, daunted, awe-inspired, dumbfounded, wonderstruck. Now, why am I giving you those three words? We read two passages today. We read Revelation 4, and that is about the transcendence of God. We read Luke chapter 8, and that is about the imminence of God. And our response is that we should be awestruck. Because those two words together are paradoxical, aren't they? The transcendence of God, amazing, supreme, supernatural, and yet remaining imminent, deep-seated, integral, intimate with us, his creation. How can we but fail to be awestruck? Just to change the topic a little bit, who knows who Abraham Lincoln is? President of, yes, not the present president of the United States. He was around in the 1860s. He was president from 61 to 65. When what happened to him? He got shot, he got assassinated, that's right. But he was president during the Civil War, which was a brutal, bloody war. Now, Abraham Lincoln was a different president than the one we see today, which isn't surprising. He had a love and deep respect for the soldiers. Love and deep respect. Here's a quote. Lincoln's manner towards enlisted men with whom he occasionally met and talked was always delightful in its bonhomie and its absolute freedom from anything like condescension. He had a genuine, kindly interest in the soldiers and a wish to learn how matters looked from their point of view. The common soldier was the equal of the chief magistrate of the nation. In fact, there was one story of Lincoln at a big function where there were loads of dignitaries, and he sees at the back of the room a very ordinary-looking soldier with his plainly dressed mother. And rather than talking to the VIP here or the VIP there, he goes to the very back to the ordinary soldier and his ordinary mother, and he has a conversation with them. I'm going to return to Abraham Lincoln a little bit later, but what I'd like you all to do now is, could you open your Bibles at page 1169 at that Revelation 4 chapter? Revelation is a really difficult to understand book, and I'm not going to really go through it today. But one of the topics in Revelation is about God enthroned in the heavenly realms. And that's this chapter that we see here, chapter 4. And this revelation is John's vision. So it's almost like he's transported into another place. And when he's transported into this other place, he is awestruck, and we know what that word means. He is afraid. And if we flick back a few pages, in chapter 1, verse 17, we see God in the vision, seeing that John is afraid, and he's there, and he just puts his hand on John's shoulder and says, "Don't be afraid." So already we're seeing God imminent whilst he is transcendent. Chapter 4. We see this incredible vision which is beyond our imagination. I reckon the computer animators of this day would have a field day with this chapter. So John's seeing a rainbow which sort of looks like an emerald. I don't know how a rainbow would look like an emerald, but it does. God looks like jasper and carnelian. Then there are flashes of lightning, and there's rumbling and peals of thunder. And it's just amazing. And this crystal glass sea in front of God. God, transcendent, supernatural God, beyond our comprehension. And the people that are there, the elders and these weird and wonderful creatures, are worshipping God. And they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come," i.e. infinite. And they're also praising God, saying, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So here we see God transcendent, God existing apart from, God not subject to the limitations of the material universe, unequaled, unique, unparalleled, incomparable, unmatched, unsurpassed, transcendent, your side of the church. And we see John being awestruck. And what is so amazing about this is that this very God that we sitting on that throne loves us so much. He loves me. He loves you. He loves you who's been baptized and you. He loves us all so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. God as a human being who died for us to take our sins, that we might meet with the transcendent God. Isn't that amazing? Well, it's amazing to me. It blows my mind. Back to Abraham. Now, Abraham had a son called Todd. And one day, Todd was in a local park, and he saw a soldier sitting on a bench looking very upset. So he went to the soldier. Now, the soldier didn't know that Todd was Todd Lincoln. And Todd said to the soldier, "Why are you so upset?" And the soldier said, I've got to take a petition to Abraham Lincoln, to the president, but I've just been to the White House and they've turned me away and I can't get to see him and I really have to see him." So Todd said, "Come with me." And the soldier did. And Todd took the soldier to the back door of the White House, went to the West Wing, walked through the West Wing, all past the security guards, went into the Oval Office, and spoke directly to Abraham, and said, "Dad, this soldier needs to give you a petition." Now, the reason I tell you that story is because we need to go to God the Father, who is transcendent, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And just as that soldier got to see Abraham Lincoln through his son, Todd, we also can go to see the transcendent, amazing God that we've read about in chapter 4 of Revelation, through Jesus, his son. Can I ask you now to turn briefly to Luke chapter 8. And I think that's on page 979. Now, this is a story about God's imminence, about Jesus being with us, part and parcel of us. So we see Jesus is asleep in a boat with a bunch of fishermen in a storm. Now, I need a bit of help with this. Now, when I was reading this, I thought, okay, the way that we can remember what's happening in this story and how it applies to us is using words beginning with C. And I need your help to think of a few more. So I'm going to give you the first one, and thereafter you're going to help me with the next ones, please. All right? So the first one, we see these disciples who are fishermen, okay, who are used to storms, I think, because they've been fishing for many years. But this storm is an almighty storm. It is the worst storm. It's the biggest storm ever. And they are in a crisis. That's your first C. Okay? They are in a crisis. I'll give you another C. Okay? Here it is. Normally, in a storm, they are in control. Okay? And that is because they are fishermen. And they know what it is to be in a storm. And they're in control. They know exactly what to do. But in this storm we read about, they're no longer in control, they are in a crisis. Now, can you read the little, there is only a few verses, verses 22 of chapter 8 to 25. Can anyone think of another C of what happens next?
Cross.
Cross.
Because they went to cross from one side to the other.
Okay, very good, very good. So they were crossing from one side of the lake to the other side of the lake. It was nearly a calamity because they were about to drown. Fantastic. Huh? Coward. They were cowering. They were afraid. This is brilliant. I didn't think of any of these words. Fantastic. Okay, so they were cowering. They were in a crisis. They were not in control. They were crossing from one place to the other, but about to reach a calamity. Help me out. Anything else? They called.